Good morning. This morning, as we come here to worship, we're going to be spending a lot of time bringing our questions to God. The psalm that we're going to be looking at this morning lays a bunch of questions at Jesus' feet. And each of us have questions about life, about God, about how things are working and how they should work. And the psalmists, over and over again, take these kind of questions and bring them to God. And even though they don't ever get that answer that they're looking for, they just keep bringing it to God. One of those is Psalm 10, which starts out this way. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Some of us may be asking that question because of what happened just this past week with the Supreme Court. We may be asking, God, where are you in these decisions? We may be asking, God, where are you in our country or in the world? There's so many reasons for us to bring these questions to God. But Psalm 10 continues, and it says, Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does a wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, He won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. And then he stands up and he says, The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. We have no reason to fear because we come here to worship. We serve the one who is the King of Kings forever and ever. And so as we come here this morning, we come here to worship Him. And no matter what our morning has been, we can always use a little more time to prepare ourselves as we come to worship Him. So I invite you to join with me in a moment of silence as you prepare yourselves to worship the King of Kings. O Lord, may we be open vessels this morning to hear you and to see you, to realize that you are here with us. O Father, thank you for never abandoning us. Thank you for this moment that we can worship you. And Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We have so many reasons to give our God praise. Even if life is hard, God sends us so many blessings, more than we can count. And so I invite you to rise and join together in singing 10,000 Reasons.
Oh,
Always pleased when we come to worship Him. We want to especially extend a warm welcome to you if you are coming as a visitor. If you are a brother or sister that we haven't met or that we don't know well, we are so glad that you have come to join with us this morning. We'd ask that if you're willing, that you would fill out the card in the pew and stick it in the offering as it passes so we can get to know you a little bit better. Or if you have a prayer item, please write it on the back of that card. We have a group on Tuesday mornings that loves to bring prayers to God and would be honored to take any prayer that you have and join with you. This morning as we worship, we come here as people of God. And that is an incredibly special thing. And our great God who is here among us, the one who spoke and made the world and all of creation, offers you His blessing this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from His only Son, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please turn and greet your neighbors? I hope that you've noticed over the past weeks that we've had a number of students up here leading us in worship through music. Well, this morning we continue that. We have Jocelyn Pausma and Elizabeth Yonker helping to lead us. And all of these students have used these songs in competition. And so now they are bringing that in front of us, not just for us to hear them, but to help lead us in worship. And so we are grateful for that opportunity again this morning. Thank you for those very fitting words on this morning. We're about to open up God's Word again. And as we do so, this message this morning is meant to be a little bit more personal, meant for you to really think and to consider your life. It's a message that I've said is full of questions. And if we claim that we don't have any questions for God, I think we are lying. Because we all carry around a lot of questions. We all have a lot of baggage that we're not sure what to do with. And so today we bring some of that in front of God. We do so by turning to Psalm 13. And I remind you that though you hear my voice, these are the very words of God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. This is God's word for us this morning. If you've ever had little children, or if you've been around them for any period of time, you will discover that they have lots of questions. They are always asking things, and sometimes they don't have a very good filtering system for those questions. Like the child that came up to me a while ago and said, why are you so fat? I must admit, I had no answer for that. I didn't know how to respond. I mean, I wish I had thought of something like, because I never eat my vegetables. I wish I had some kind of an answer for that, but I just didn't. But there are a lot of other questions that children have. One of them is probably an old picture that you might remember seeing. You've been farming long? Kids have all sorts of questions, don't they? And some of them aren't so easy to answer. They're not all cute little questions. Children can sometimes turn into interrogators, and they won't let go of it. Like, can I climb on the roof and jump off? No. Well, why not? Well, because you're going to get hurt. Well, I'll be careful. Why can't I go on the roof? And those questions just keep coming, don't they? It doesn't matter. At some point, you give up even trying to give an answer because the same questions just keep coming. Like when you get in the car and the children 5 miles down the road start saying, are we there yet? And that question keeps popping up again. And it seems like it's the same kind of questions over and over. Why? Why not? And sometimes, as parents, you get to that point of saying, I give up even trying to answer those questions anymore. Because no matter what kind of answer I give to you, you won't accept it. You won't let it go. And sometimes we, even as adults, can be that way with God. We have these questions that we just can't get past. We keep bringing them to God. We keep asking these questions, and we're never satisfied with what the answer is. And sometimes it's okay. Because sometimes the answer that we get isn't one that seems to fit with God's will. Because we live in a world of sin. And sometimes those answers come back representing the sin of the world. Our questions might change as we get older, but we always have questions. There are the popular ones like, why do bad things happen to good people? That so many have asked throughout the centuries. Or maybe you have a more specific one of, God, when will you give me a job that I enjoy? The questions that we bring to God are just as diverse as the people that bring them. And then we have the simple question from Psalm 13, where he says, how long, O Lord? And each of us could probably finish that question in a different way. How long, O Lord, will this continue? How long, O Lord, will you put up with this? The questions that we ask are questions seeking an answer. But sometimes I feel so helpless when people bring me questions that they've been bringing to God, and I sit there and think, I don't know how to answer you. Like the elderly person who says to me, how come that young person died and I'm still here? I'm ready for God to take me home, but why does he keep taking these young people? How do you answer that? What do you say to someone that you respect, someone that you look up to, that you know is a wonderful Christian, and they're asking this serious question? And then there's that young person who's living with parents who really don't even care for them, who has no true friend, who hates school, who feels like life is worthless, and who wonders, why did God even create me? What's the point of life if it's so hard? And each time someone asks a question like this, I just wish that there was some way that God would give that answer to me and I could pass it on to them, that I could give them this peace that settles them. But many of these questions are beyond us. They're questions that only God can answer. And sometimes those answers aren't what we like. Sometimes even if God would explain it to us, we wouldn't get it. God sees from a perspective that we can never see from. God understands so much more than we will ever understand. And maybe sometimes God doesn't give us those answers because he knows we won't get it even if he explains it to us. We are far from the first ones to ask questions of God. As you read through your Bible, you find many who have asked questions of God. Am I my brother's keeper? How can you give me a child when I am beyond the childbearing years? There have been many who have come to God bringing these questions and thinking, God, you just don't get it. God, it doesn't make sense. They come to God with confusion. They come to God struggling with those things that they can't seem to fit together. The Psalms are filled with questions. And the author keeps bringing many of them over and over again because he doesn't get the answer. Job is filled with questions. He begins bringing questions to God in chapter 3. And he doesn't stop until chapter 38. Habakkuk wrote a whole book containing question after question for God, like, why do you tolerate wrong? And when are you going to listen to me? And why won't you save us? It's those same kind of questions that we're asking. God, where are you? God, how do you allow this to go on? God, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem right. God, what is going on? And sometimes it feels like we bring these questions to God and they just get stuck. They don't seem to go anywhere. And we suffer. We struggle. We're confused. We're walking around questioning so much, even God Himself at times. You can hear the agony in these sorts of questions. And each one of them is really the sign of someone who is wrestling with God. As you hear these kind of questions, you hear people who are just trying to put faith and what they experience together to figure out how these two connect. Most of the time, when we ask questions like this, we aren't looking for some sort of knowledge. It's not like we're asking God a math question. God, what is the square root of 49? That we could get some sort of simple little answer. Anyone know the answer?
7. Good. Very good.
Instead, these questions are filled with turmoil. These questions are ones where the answer isn't so simple. Why is life so hard? When will I ever feel like I belong? Well, Jared Wilson explains these questions when he says, this kind of questioning is a product of and a response to the experience of the hiddenness of God, who refuses to appear and act as humans expect and desire. Doesn't that sum it up pretty well? We want God to be physically here. We want God to act in a way that other humans act. And it seems wrong then that we should be able to sit down and have a lunch with God and ask Him these kind of questions and physically get a response. Or we wish that we could have a press conference with God and bring all of these questions to Him and He has to shoot back the answers. But instead, it seems like God hides from us. It seems like God doesn't listen at times. Or that he's playing some sort of a cruel hide-and-seek game. Where it seems like God keeps saying, well, come and find me. And after a while, we say, I'm tired of this. God, I've been looking for you and I can't find you. Psalmist even accuses God of being absent. Gerald Wilson goes on to say that these questions seek divine presence and action on our behalf. Such questions reveal a faith seeking to understand in the midst of painful experiences that shake the very foundation of believing. When I read that, It was like a light bulb came on. I read this over and over again, and I said, yes, that is what my questioning is. It's not that I'm disbelieving. It's not that I'm saying, well, God, you're no longer the God that I thought you were. But those questions are times of saying, okay, God, I believe you are the great God, the God that Scripture says. But when I look around me, here is what I see. And God, I'm just trying to understand how this works. It's what Saint Anselm of Canterbury said. When he said, I do not seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe in order to understand. And he writes a beautiful prayer saying, God, no matter what, no matter how many questions I have, I still believe in you, but help me to understand it. Help me to make sense out of this. Because I don't know what to do with it. When we are shaken by the storms of life, we want, we need something solid to anchor ourselves to. And we have to admit that having a spiritual God instead of a physical God can make it harder. Because there are times where all we can do is cry, and we wish that God could physically come and wrap His arms around us, that we could physically feel Him here. But that's not the way our God operates. But maybe that's why God established the church. Maybe that is who we are supposed to be. The ones that come up to our brothers and sisters and put our arm around them. The ones that say a prayer with them. The ones that are willing to sit and listen to the questions even though we don't have the answers. But to join with them in that struggle. The world is crying out for this. The world is asking questions. And they're looking for someone to join with them. Today, many of you have come to worship filled with questions. Some of you might even be coming here thinking, God, I don't even know if you're true anymore. God, so much has happened in my life that I'm not sure how to deal with it anymore. And God, even if you don't give me an answer, give me something to make it through. So many of us are calling out, how long, O Lord? James understood this. He wrote about it by saying, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any happy? Let him sing songs of praise. If any of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. This morning, we're going to do that. I want to invite any of you who are struggling with questions. Any of you that feel this burden on you to come forward. We will have elders up in front. We'll be here to lay hands on you. If you've been asking God how long you have to deal with bouts of cancer, or pain that never goes away, if you've been facing overdue bills month after month, if your marriage has become more work than joy, if you are sick and tired of feeling worried and depressed, then please come up to the front. Because we're going to pray for you. And as a part of this prayer, we're going to invite all of you to join with us. We're going to be playing a song as we do this prayer. That means that if you want to pray out loud, you can and nobody will hear you. If you want to pray silently, feel free. If there is someone around you that you know is struggling but doesn't come forward, lay your hand on them. I want to invite you to start coming forward so that we can pray with you. And as you do, I want to share with you some of the words in this song that we are going to listen to. One tear in the dropping rain, one voice in a sea of pain. Could the maker of the stars hear the sound of my breaking heart? One life is all I am. Right now I can barely stand. If you're everything you say you are, would you come close and hold my heart? Would you please come forward? Elders, would you please come? I know it's hard to be the first person. Anyone else? As this song plays, please lift up your prayers for those among us who are struggling today.
How long must I pray? Must I pray to you? How long must I wait? Must I wait for you? How long till I see your face? See you shining through? I'm on my knees, begging you to notice me.
Over the years, I have witnessed so many people struggling, so many with questions. One woman I was thinking of as I was preparing this had a husband who died in a tragic car accident. She looked for a man to love her after that, found someone to marry. Within a year, they were divorced. Soon afterwards, her daughter began losing her hearing, and they found out there was nothing they could do about it. She's now deaf. She just recently had surgery to remove cancer, and now waiting to find out what the results of that are. I know a family in a church where we worshiped, where the husband killed the wife, and the two children were left alone. For the rest of their lives, they deal with that tragedy. And the questions keep coming. But I have also seen those same people praising God with tears streaming down their face, who have refused to say, "I give up," who know that there is still a God. And so, even though it hurts, they lift up their praise to God. I read recently of a woman named Nan Jones who calls this salty praise. And sometimes we lift up our salty praise to God. And sometimes in doing that, part of it is just trying to convince ourselves once again that there is still a God, that He still reigns, that in the end He will win. That there will come a time when Jesus Christ will return and we will be brought up to live with Him forever and ever. And it's a hope that we so desperately need in this world. And that's why I am so glad that David ends the psalm with these words, "But I trust in Your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in Your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me." And in just a moment, we will do that. We will sing to the Lord. We began this service by singing 10,000 reasons, knowing that we have so many reasons to still praise Him, even when life is hard. Before we sing, would you join with me in prayer? O Lord our God, we so desperately need to be reminded of who you are, to know and to see that you are real. So, Lord, may you show yourself to us. Father, for those who are lifting up questions and not getting answers, Father, give them strength and perseverance. Give them that hope that seems to fade. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are here with them, that you will never leave them, that you love them, and that you care for them. And Lord, we ask that the words that we are about to sing will be true from our hearts. May you receive it as praise, even if it is salty praise. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Amen. Asked to remind you or to say an expression of thanks to you if you have helped with the community table this past Friday. We had more people than we ever expected, and we had just enough food for them. Thank you for those of you who brought any food, but especially those who brought a little bit extra, because there are many people here in our community who need our help. And what a blessing it is that we could provide for them and that God made it just enough food. Also need to remind the youth group that this Wednesday we will meet at 5:30 here at church to leave for the Timber Rattlers game. People of God. We are people of God. And that means that God is with us and in us. As you go out from here, whatever you face in the days and weeks to come, God is always with you. And He offers you His blessing as you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.